Amen. I wonder if any of you have ever tried researching your family history. Have you ever done that? Trying to put together a family tree and dig around in the archives and seeing who your ancestors were. I went through a phase when I was much younger, maybe in about 10. I thought, I want to build my family tree. So I sat down and started to do some research. And obviously you start with the people in your household and then you work backwards from there. So I did some research and I discovered that my mum's name is Jane. My dad's name is Raymond. And then I lost enthusiasm and gave up. So to this day, I have no idea what my brother's called. But the great thing that we can see as God's family, members of God's family, the great thing for us is we have a really exciting way of researching our spiritual family history. It's called reading the Bible. This book, breathed out by God, a record of our family history, an exciting family history. And yet, if we're honest, some of that family history research is more exciting than other bits. Some bits are more exciting than others. The Bible tells us that all Scripture, all of it, is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. But we know that of all the Scripture that God chose to breathe out for our profit, He chose in His wisdom to breathe out a lot of lists of names and a lot of genealogies. And we met one this morning in our series through Nehemiah, if you're with us. There were 50 verses of the chapter that I didn't read. Owen will put them on the screen behind me so you can have a quick glance through of the names that Nehemiah gave us. And we'll meet some more lists of names and genealogies. There you go, if you've got good eyesight. A lot of lists of names before we finish the book of Nehemiah, and there are others in the Old Testament, and a few in the New Testament as well. What should we do with these lists of names? What should we do with these genealogies? Of course, there's the obvious fact that we could memorize them name by name. But what else should we do with these lists of names? I think we should celebrate them. We should celebrate them as really exciting parts of our family history. Why? Well, in typical evening service fashion, I'll give you three reasons, with the caveats that you can add your own later. Three things that we can think when we come across these genealogies and lists of names when we read our Bibles. You may not be able to pronounce all of the names that you come across. You don't need to try. You don't need to stress about that. But three things that we can think when we meet these lists of names. The first is this. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. And the Lord is faithful even when we're not. There's a verse in Psalm 100 behind me on the screen. Verse 5 says, "The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. His faithfulness to all generations. And the genealogies in the Bible prove it. Because each generation that we meet in those lists of names is a generation in which the Lord has been faithful. Each generation is a generation in which the Lord has kept His promises. A generation in which the Lord has cared for His people. A generation in which the Lord has kept His work going and moved His plans forward. I find it very easy in my life to lose touch with people. Do you find that? It's very easy to just lose touch with people without even trying to or meaning to. It just kind of happens. And I think if I think back to my time in high school, the number of people that I'm still in touch with from high school, too. And one of those is my brother, whatever his name is. But the good news of these genealogies is the Lord doesn't lose touch with his people from generation to generation, from generation to generation, from generation to generation. He doesn't lose touch. He's faithful. He stays with his people. And he does that even though his people have not always been faithful in response. You know, those friends from high school that I've lost touch with, it's not that they've done anything to particularly offend me. That's not why I've lost touch with them. But the Lord's people have done plenty to offend him. If you came up with a four-word summary of the Old Testament, perhaps a good starting point for a four-word summary of the Old Testament: God faithful, people not. God faithful, people not. In a few weeks in Nehemiah, if you come on that Sunday morning, we'll have a long prayer which summarizes the Old Testament in pretty much those words. God faithful, people not. You can think about the Exodus, that great event where the Lord brought his people out of slavery in Egypt, out of oppression with a mighty hand. He brought them out and he provided for them so wonderfully in the wilderness. And they grumbled. They grumbled. And they said they wanted to go back. Or we could think about Sinai, where he gave them the law, his good and right and true and holy and perfect law. A good gift to them. What did they do? Well, even while he was giving it, they made a golden calf to worship. And you think about the conquest of the land when they went in and the Lord defeated all of his people's enemies and settled them in this land that he had promised to them. And what did they do? Well, they turned away from him and they started worshipping other gods, the gods of the peoples of the land. And when we meet this generation in Nehemiah that we've been journeying through in the mornings, we've seen this people that's been scattered because of their disobedience. But then the Lord has brought them back. And through all of that, from generation to generation, 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 these words have been true, the words on the slide before, that the Lord has been faithful. The Lord has stayed faithful. And the last proper genealogies we get in the Bible are those of our Lord Jesus and the history there. Each of those generations that's listed, a generation where some have been faithful, a lot have not been faithful, but the Lord has kept his promises all the way through to the bringing of our Saviour into this world to rescue us. The Lord is faithful. And seeing God's faithfulness in these lists of names in the Bible gives us encouragement as we think about the next generation, the generation to come after us, our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren in some of your cases, and to look around at the children in churches in Bridge End. There's a verse in Psalm 145, which is, you're one slide ahead of us, I think, Owen. I think you're one slide ahead of us. If you go back one. Yes, go with that one. Psalm 145, one generation commends your works to another. That's what we long to do. We long to pass on the good news to the next generation, to the children and the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. But when we think about our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and children in Bridge End, we can feel that's quite a big task. And we see the challenges and we see the pressures that we face in this society and the kind of world that our children and grandchildren are growing up in. How are we going to successfully pass the truth on to the next generation? How are we going to do it? Well, the Lord's faithful from generation to generation. The Lord has been faithful in every generation that's existed for as long as generations have existed. And he's going to be faithful in our children's generation and our grandchildren's generation and so on and so on. It's not all about us. We can just get on with serving God. We can just get on with commending his works to the next generation and trust him for the fruit, because he'll be faithful in that next generation. And if we get things wrong, which we will, actually, when we get things wrong, he stays faithful. And when we get things right, all the praise belongs to him. These lists of names, these genealogies show us so clearly the Lord is faithful. And next time we come across one of those lists, we can think, this is a list of generations to whom the Lord was faithful, even if they weren't. That's the first thing. The second thing, the Lord remembers us. These lists of names show us the Lord remembers us, even when others don't. The Lord remembers us even when others don't. It's quiz time now. I have a quiz question for you. What do these three people have in common? Henry Addington, Archibald Primrose, Augustus Fitzroy, 3rd Duke of Grafton. What do those three people have in common? I'll read them again. Henry Addington, Archibald Primrose, Augustus Fitzroy, 3rd Duke of Grafton. Put your hand up if you know the answer. Jeannie. Yes, they were. And they were also all British prime ministers. You don't know your British history, and nor did I. Three British prime ministers. Three British prime ministers that most people, based on this straw poll, know very little about, if anything. Don't even remember their names, even though they had a lot of money, a lot of wealth, a lot of intelligence, a lot of gifts. They may have been people who really wanted to leave a legacy. They wanted to make a difference in British life, to do something that would make them remembered, so in future generations people would say, oh yes, Archibald Primrose. But instead, they haven't left a legacy like that. They've just shown the proof of Ecclesiastes 1 verse 11. That verse. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. So it's part of a section talking about how life can seem so meaningless because generations come and generations go and generations are forgotten. Generations come, generations go, generations are forgotten. And the Bible is filled with people who would have been forgotten if not for the fact that the Lord remembered them. These lists of names filled with people who would have been forgotten if it wasn't that the Lord had remembered them, as he remembers all of his people. He doesn't forget us. He doesn't forget what he's done through us. The Lord remembers us. That's what gives our lives any kind of meaning or significance in this seemingly meaningless flow of history where generations come and go and are forgotten, but the Lord remembers us. There's a wonderful verse in, my favourite verse in Luke chapter 10, is verse 20, which is this verse, where Jesus says this to his disciples who've come back saying about how the spirits are subject to them. And he says, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And you could replace anything you want for the first bit about spirits being subject to you. Don't get obsessed about your achievements. Don't get obsessed about your legacy. Don't get obsessed about what people are going to write in your obituary. Just be amazed at this. If you know Jesus, if you're trusting in him, your names are written in heaven. The Bible talks about the book of life. The book of life of the names of those who will forever enjoy the fullness of the life that God offers in his Son. And the genealogies in the Bible are a picture of that book. A reminder that if you know Jesus, there's a book in heaven with your name in it. There's a list in heaven with your name in it. And we can feel like a bunch of nobodies meeting together on a Sunday. We don't have much significance. Just a bunch of random people. But a bunch of random people who are known by the Lord, known so intimately, like that image of the shepherd and his sheep, the sheep that he knows by name. And we're a bunch of random people that shepherd cares for so much that he gave his life, laid down his life for us. And the bunch of random people that the Lord uses in his purposes, advancing his purposes through ordinary people like us working together. So we don't need to worry about what kind of significance people will think of us in the future. We just get on with serving God in the place that he has placed us, knowing that he will remember us. He doesn't forget us. He doesn't forget what he's done through us. The Lord remembers us. Next time we come across a list of names in the Old Testament, if we know Jesus, then we can think there's a list like this in heaven with my name on it. That's the first two things. The third thing, the good news of genealogies, the Lord has big plans. The Lord has big plans, even when we feel small. Owen will put a number on the screen behind me, the number 42,360. Now the question is that a big number or is that a small number? I suppose it depends what you compare it to, doesn't it? If you compare it to a bigger number, then it's a small number. If you compare it to a smaller number, it's a big number. That's your bonus maths lesson for this evening. But is this a big or small number? This number is the number that was listed in Nehemiah chapter 7, if you were with us this morning, of the people who had returned, or the main group of people who had returned from exile to the land. 42,360 people. Now, is that a big number or is that a small number? Well, it seems pretty small compared to the number who were brought out of Egypt, led by Moses, where we read in Exodus 12, there were about 600,000 men, besides women and children. Double that number and then add a few more, perhaps. 600,000, 42,360. 42,360 seems like a small number. And Nehemiah and his generation may have felt very small. He could have felt very small. But look what the Lord has done since. Look what the Lord has done since. He kept his people who returned the land, kept them as the people from whom the Messiah, the Christ, would come. And he sent his Son as that Messiah, as that rescuer, as that Saviour, as that King, the one who died on the cross to deal with our sin and rose again, and then initiated this new era of worldwide mission, this new era of the good news about God spreading across the whole world, of people across this world hearing the good news of forgiveness that's found only in Jesus, but of a certain forgiveness that's found in him because of everything he's done. And in the later part of the New Testament, we see how the good news has spread quickly, how it spread widely, far beyond the borders of just one group of people. We get that wonderful moment in Acts chapter 2. Peter preaches a sermon. 3,000 people added in one day, and more added every other day. Luke doesn't even bother to count after that. It's too much effort. There's just so many being added. And that's continued since then, the way that the gospel has spread across this world and is bearing fruit. And I was reminded of this when I read something this week about China. China is a country that's known for the kind of the rapid growth of the gospel and believers there. But I was reading something written by a Christian who lives in China, saying that some of the estimates for the number of believers there are too high. And we shouldn't believe all of the numbers that we hear, because a lot of those numbers sweep up all kinds of people who aren't really believers at all. So don't listen to those big numbers that you hear. And then this brother went on to say that instead we should accept a more conservative estimate of how many believers there are in China. A more conservative estimate, like, say, 30 to 40 million. And I don't know about you, but 30 to 40 million still seems like a pretty big number. 30 to 40 million compared to 42,360. This is a big number of people who know this great and awesome God as their great and awesome God. And that's just one country that hasn't always been overly fond of people worshipping the true and living God. Nehemiah's generation could have felt small. Look what the Lord has done since. And we in our generation, especially in the UK at the moment, we can feel small. But look how far the Lord has brought his people and brought his promises. And the plans aren't over yet. We get that scene in Revelation chapter 7. That great multitude that no one could number. A great multitude that no one could number, a numberless multitude of people worshipping the Saviour before the throne. That scene that shows us that the Book of Life clearly has a very high page count. So many people, you can't even count them. That's what we can look forward to. That's the growth that's to come. That's the climax that we're heading to. That's the big plans that our faithful Lord has. We have this great and awesome God who is faithful, who remembers us, who uses us, who has big plans beyond anything that people can quantify. Next time you come across a list of names in the Bible, you can think, the Lord's been busy since then, busy rescuing people. So you sit down tomorrow morning, you open up your Bible and you get a list of names. You open up the Bible, there's a list of names. What are you going to do? Two options. Option one is you could skip over it, think, this is a waste of my time, let's get to the good bits. Or option two, which after this evening is the option I hope you'll take, is to pause, to look at that list, and to celebrate it. To praise God that he was faithful to every single one of those generations and that he's faithful to us. To reflect on the fact that if we know Jesus, there's a list in heaven with our name on it. And to pray. To pray that more in Lichard would come to know the joy of having their names in that book of life. To pray, pray expectantly, pray confidently. To pray excitedly to our great and awesome God who's planned that glorious, uncountable climax of salvation. God, in his wisdom, has breathed out a lot of genealogies. Our family history is filled with lists of names. Friends, let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate what our Lord has done. Amen.